Chet's North. I just want to welcome you. Can we give a hand to all of our first-time guests for being here with us today? And my name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors here and excited about this new series called You Asked For It. I've asked about a month or two ago to send in questions, whether on email or in the service, of some of your biggest questions about life, about God, about faith. And we received a lot of questions. Some were very funny, like what happened to aliens and stuff like that. But we had a lot of really heavy, deep questions, and so I'm excited to kick that series off today. You can pull out your Bibles or your notes. They're right inside your worship guide. If you're new with us, you can follow along with me today. Now, today's title is, How Do I Handle Stress? How many of you guys would say you've been stressed at some point of your life? Right? Pretty much everybody. Today, this is a big question that I received. I received questions like, Josh, how do I deal with stress? How do I deal with anxiety? How do I deal with worry? I had someone ask me this question, how do you help someone when they are so far away and they're struggling and find it hard to even wake up, that they're that depressed, they don't feel like there's anything to live for? And we live in a stressed out culture. I would say an all-time high. People are stressed because I believe there's so many options, there's so many things that we need to be doing with our time, it sometimes feels overwhelming, doesn't it? I have so many options, so many things that I can do with my time on the internet, on my phone, or in the city. But here's some of the top stressors in our culture today. I did a big poll, and here's some of the stressors that we face today. The first one is the death of a loved one. Very stressful situation. It's a hurtful situation. Not only that, but commuting to work. Anybody in Jacksonville commuting to work? That tests your Christianity, right? Commuting to work. Confrontations. You know, no one likes to be in a confrontation, especially if you're on the wrong end. I don't know if this one's on the screen. The next one should say pets stress. Did you know that actually there's a study out that pets get stressed out before the kids go back to school, and they have tips on how to help your pet not be stressed? I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, it's out there. You can look it up. Pet stress. Marriage. Marriage is hard, but marriage is rewarding. Back to school, that's coming up. Actually, some of y'all, that's a stress reliever for you because your kids are going back to school. Praise the Lord. Self-doubt. Sometimes self-doubt. We doubt ourselves. We feel like maybe we don't measure up. Deadlines. Don't you just love deadlines? All right, any procrastinators in the room? You were in college and you always had that deadline and you were stressed out. You drank coffee all night. Deadlines. Legal problems. That's stressful. Job loss. That's a big stressor. Some folks in our church are looking for jobs, and we're praying for them. Divorce is a really difficult one. Having a new job, or just your current job. You're like, you know, let's not talk about the other job. My current job is stressful. Retirement. Actually, I found this funny at first, but did you know that for most retirees, it's very stressful because it's a whole new way of life? Some of us that are working are thinking, really, I could deal with that stress. Right, retirement, if you look it up, many people are stressed. Money problems. This was probably one of the top stressors that I received on Facebook this week. Money problems. What do I do about my money? We're going to talk about that later. Illnesses. And then my all-time favorite, parenting, right? If you don't want to be stressed, don't have kids, all right? They are wonderful little munchkins, but they can stress you out, right? Any parents in the room today? Parenting is tough. Pace of life. Many times our pace of life is so fast and we go from one thing to the next that we don't even catch our breath. And then expectations of other people. You ever let someone down? Expectations. Sometimes expectations they put on you or sometimes expectations you put on yourself. And then I believe this last one, for me as a pastor, is one of the most unnoticed by most people, but I believe one of the biggest problems, and that is this, and it's unresolved sin in our lives. It's when we have certain sins in our life that have taken up root in our heart and we haven't dealt with the root of the problem. We've just dealt with the outside part of the problem. And today I want us to look also at this, that stress affects your body. Stress is linked to heart disease, high blood pressure, insomnia, heart attacks, stomach ulcers, and even difficulty conceiving. Stress affects your mood. It makes you feel restless and angry and frustrated. Stress affects our behavior. And the culture we live in has a lot of solutions for stress. If you do a Google search for stress, you'll find all kinds of answers. One of those is this picture. You can go out and buy a stress ball, okay? You can even buy a stress ball. Anybody ever done this before? Right? I've done it for 5 minutes. It didn't really help much. It just made me angrier. Right? And there's fidget spinners out today. I've actually read that some people believe that this helps with ADHD, But actually, a 2017 study says that is not true. It probably just makes it worse. I don't get this, right? These came out in the early 90s, but now they're famous. I don't know why. My 4-year-old and 3-year-old love them. They'll just be like, spinners, you know? I don't think it helps with stress. One study says give up caffeine. Probably not. Give up caffeine. Exercise more. That's important. It's valuable. The Mayo Clinic says to spend more time in nature. That helps relieve stress. Fortune.com says that business leaders that are stressed out should start playing with toys again in the office to feel like kids again. Didn't know if you knew that. But and the New Yorker says that adults need adult coloring books. That will take away your stress. All those can be helpful, but those only treat the symptom of the problem. Our culture treats the symptom of the problem, but God's word goes to the root of where our anxiety and our worry and our stress comes from. And so we're going to look today at John chapter 16, verse 33, and Jesus is talking to his disciples the night before he's going to go to the cross, and he had just spent 2 chapters of the Bible telling them, listen, don't be afraid, I'm about to go to the cross, and I'm going to leave you. And they were stressed out. They didn't understand why Jesus was going to leave them. And this is what he said in verse 33. I have told you all this so that you may have what? Peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take what? Heart, because I have overcome the world. See, the day before we jump into Philippians chapter 4, one of my favorite chapters of the Bible, we have to first understand that when we have a relationship with Christ, we are overcomers in Christ. Amen? That there's nothing this world can throw at us that we can't handle because Jesus has already won the war. He's already won the battle, and he lives inside of us as Christians. But many times we don't focus on that. We focus on the symptom. We focus on the outward, and we're not focused on the inside. Now, I've got to give you a full disclaimer. This message is probably more for me than it is for you. I'm more of a type A kind of leader, those that know me. I need this message today. I spend sometimes worrying more than I do praying. Anybody with me today? I spend more times finding problems than finding solutions. And what I want you to know is I've studied and prayed about this over the last 2 weeks. God has been showing me areas in my life that I need to meditate on this truth, that on this world, in this earth, we're going to face troubles and difficulties and sadness and suffering, but Jesus has overcome and he's not done with us. So Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, dealing with stress God's way. And I want to set it up like this. Paul was writing in a Roman jail cell, not like jails in America where you can get an education and watch TV. Roman prisons were brutal. He was chained to this Roman jail, writing to the church of Philippi, and he was suffering. He was actually towards the end of his life. And Paul wrote this book of Philippians, one of the most encouraging books in the New Testament, to a church that he dearly loved. And he writes this in verse 4 of chapter 4. He says, always be full of what? Of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. I don't know about you, I don't think I'd be writing that if as I was sitting in a nasty prison cell with rats around me awaiting my execution not long afterwards. You see, Paul went through a life of suffering, of ups and downs, of seeing God do miracles, but also seeing him almost stoned to death and shipwrecked and pushed out of cities and mocked and persecuted. So the question is this, is that we can live with a joyful expectation that God is with us, even within the harshest circumstances. You see, joy is a trust in God despite our circumstance. And what Paul wants to write to us today as we're getting ready to look at seeing is we're going to walk through Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to see God's solution to stress. Anybody looking for that today? So you know what? I could take this message, and my goal for you is to take this message and you take it and read about it this week. You could take this message and this outline and go to your friend that's stressed out and just read it together and talk about it. The first truth is this, I want you to jot down, is the first way we deal with stress God's way is number one, jot this down, refuse to worry about anything. Oh, that sounds absolutely impossible, Josh. Refuse to worry about anything. Notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't worry about what? I looked it up in the Greek and it means anything. You know that? Look up the Greek. Don't worry about anything. Josh, that's impossible. By the way, stress is a normal part of our life. You can't escape sometimes worried feelings and stress and anxiety, And God doesn't promise to keep us from it. But what God promises is that he can overcome it through his power in us. Don't worry about anything. Well, Josh, what about this? What about this problem? What about this job? What about this? What about that? We live in a culture where we question everything, don't we? We don't trust anybody anymore. What does it say? Don't worry about anything. And anxiety and stress and worry stem, the root cause stems from a lack of trust in God. So when we don't choose to trust him, we're saying we don't, when we choose to worry, we choose to not trust him. You can either pray or you can either worry. Worry doesn't do anything about the outcome of your life. I read a study this week that 85% of the things we worry about never happen. I love this statement. Worry is borrowing from the future something that will probably not happen. Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its strength. That's what Corrie Ten Boom said. She was in World War II in prison camps in Nazi Germany. She wrote about trusting God in the hardest circumstances. Worry's unnecessary. Did you know that? Like, it literally doesn't do any good for our lives. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 6. He was giving the greatest sermon ever told in Matthew 5 through 7. And right in the middle, he talks about worry. Matthew 6, 25, Jesus said this, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" As Jesus looks out upon thousands of first century people, many that were living very, very deeply in poverty, he says, listen, you are more valuable than the birds. When we worry, when you choose to look outside of your sustaining grace of God, you miss what I have to offer you. Worry can't change the past, and worry can't change the future. And by the way, we have a heavenly Father that's a good God that wants to care for his children. Do you know that? He loves you, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what you think about you. And I love what he says in verse 34 of Matthew 6. He says, so don't worry about what? For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So worrying about the future doesn't do anything good for my present. It actually rids me of energy for the present. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Let me say that again. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. And God got you through it. You're here today. Amen? And sometimes we focus so much on the problem, we don't focus on the solution that God can overcome and God can deal with our struggles. Here's the takeaway I want you to jot down. When it comes to worry in our lives, we need to live this way. Jot this down. Live one day at a time. Because you don't know if you have tomorrow. The Bible says that the life is like a vapor. One day it's here, one day it's gone. You and I can plan our life all we want, but when we focus our life on God, live one day at a time. The Bible says, if God wills, in other words, if it's in his plan for me to do this or that, but when it comes to today, I'm going to live one day at a time. Life is short. I've been to a lot of funerals in my life. I've been to a lot of teenagers' funerals. I've been to a lot of people that have lived a long life. And here's the truth. No matter where you're at, no matter how long we have, live one day at a time and face it with God's grace. Number two, the second way to deal with stress is pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about anything. Don't panic, pray. Don't worry, worship. Amen? Spend time focused on what God has for you. And by the way, the Bible never says to stop doing something and not start something instead. Notice what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about what? Let's say it together. What? Everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then, notice the word then, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live what? In Christ Jesus, in my relationship with Jesus that I can overcome. I will experience God's peace. Pray about everything. Talk to God about everything. If I were to sit with you at a coffee shop and ask you about your prayer life, most of us would probably say, Josh, my prayer life's not very strong. Some of us might say, Josh, I don't really know how to pray. I don't really know how to pray. I'm not a good prayer. You've seen people in church and they can just pray like heaven down. You're like, well, I just can't pray like that. Do you know that God wants you to pray in your own words, from your own heart? He doesn't want the big words. He wants real. He wants authentic. He wants you. Because a lot of times, instead of us talking to God about everything, we talk to ourselves about everything. And anybody today, you talk to yourself a lot. Well, I just tell you what, she's taking me off. Right. Get out of the way, you know. I just tell you, these drivers in Jacksonville, you know, we talk to ourselves a lot, right? And we begin to talk about a problem, and the problem that we're talking about was really small, and all of a sudden the problem is like, it's never gonna get better. And we talk to ourselves about it, and we don't talk to who? God about it. Talk to God about everything. Our stress will lower when we begin to talk to God about our stress. God, I need your help. I need your peace. I mean, growing up, my dad, I would go to my dad when I needed something. Dad, I need your help with this. Dad, I need your help with this. Dad, I have a question. I don't know what to do about this. You know what my dad never did? I don't want to help you. Get out of here. He said, no, come on, let's talk about it. You have a God that wants to hear every detail of your life. He cares about every detail of your life. And I love what it says. It says his peace will what? Guard. Notice the word guard. Your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That word for guard is a military term. In other words, it's the truth that God will defend and he'll fight for you when you go to him in prayer. He's fighting for you. He's with you. There's nothing that you're facing that God can't handle. I love the way my son Micah prays. I say, Micah, sometimes I say, hey, Micah, do you want to pray for us? Now, I know he's a preacher's kid and all that kind of stuff, and I don't make him pray, okay? Like, you need to pray, son. You're a pastor's kid. You got to pray. And when he was younger, he would hear me pray or Cassidy pray, and he'd say, well, Daddy, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. And my thought was like, oh, man, there's like 15 canned prayers I can teach him, right? Like, here I lay me down, you know, give us this day. And there's nothing bad about those. But I thought, you know what? Instead of that, I'm just going to tell Micah to talk to God about everything. And guess what he does? Talks about everything. Dear God, I pray that we'd eat this food and we can go play after we eat this food. God, I thank you for the Legos that you've given me and thank you for my friend being here. I pray that he'll stay for a long time. And I mean, he'll just pray. And I'm like, I'm over there trying not to laugh. And I'm thinking, he literally prays to God about everything on his mind. That's childlike faith, right? He knows God can handle it. And his peace will guard our hearts. And we just have to cry out and talk to him about it. I love that. Daddy, I don't know what to say. Just talk to God. You know how to pray? Just talk to God. We all can talk. We can talk football. I know, guys, we can sit down and talk to football. Do you talk to God enough about more than football? Yeah. Do you pray for your family, men? Do you pray for your kids at night? You want to see God do a work in your family? Just start praying for your family. Go in your kids' room and pray. Last night, by the way, when you preach on something, the enemy attacks you about that all week. Did you know that? So this week, I felt God attacking me about stress and worry and anxiety. And both my kids come out of their bedrooms last night crying because they were afraid of the dark. And I said, that's not just a coincidence. That's the enemy trying to scare and steal my kids' joy. And we prayed over them and talked about Jesus. And we have an overcomer. We don't have to fear. And I prayed that over. And I talked to my kids because they were afraid because they feel the darkness. They feel fear. And we talked to God about it. Do you do that? It's as simple as just, can I pray for you? Pray about everything. Praying should not be just our last resort. It should be our first response. It should be our last resort because we only need God. But man, don't wait till it's the last resort. Go to him first because we'll experience his peace, which surpasses all understanding. Pray when you're eating. Pray when you're driving. I'm praying as I'm preaching right now. Did you know that? I can actually do that. It's weird. God, would you help me have the words to say? Would you fill me with your spirit? I pray that because I need God every moment of my day. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Does it say give God some of your worries? Does it say God gives some of your cares? He says give all of your worries and cares to God. Some translation says cast all your care upon him. Literally throw it to him. Give it to him. Release it to him because he can carry our burdens. I'm just let you in on my spiritual habits. When I'm worried or I have prayers or I have needs in my life, I go and I journal my prayers. Sometimes I write it out, sometimes I type it out. So Josh, that's kind of weird. For me, I get along with God and I just write it out. God, would you help this family with this? God, would you give me peace with this? God, I pray for this person's salvation. God, would you give us a building one day, right? Would you just provide miraculously where we can only say only God? Would you help our air conditioners to work Sunday? Whatever. Pray God everything. Because God begins to change things. You know prayer changes things? It changes things. It's this great exchange. I want you to jot this down as a takeaway. Josh, when it comes to prayer, here's the truth. When it comes to prayer, he cares about every need of your life. And so when you pray, lean in, because you have the Heavenly Father that welcomes everything you have to say, and he meets you right where you're at. He cares about every detail of your life. And the reason some of us don't pray to God is we don't think he cares. Our view of God is many times mixed up, and God wants to meet with you. There's no problem too big or too small. And there's an amazing exchange that goes on. When I give God my worries, he replaces my worries with faith. He replaces my fear with trust. Now, let me tell you something. This isn't just a one-time thing. Sometimes you got to pray all day. Like, get on your knees. And if you're new to church and you're like, Josh, I'm not a Christian, like this message might freak you out a little bit, okay? We're talking all about prayer and trusting God. I get that. But if you're a believer today, you are more than a conqueror through Christ. And you have a God that cares. Go to him about everything. I want to know every detail of my kids' lives. I want them to tell me everything. And our Heavenly Father's way better than I am as a dad. He's a way better daddy. Number three. Third way to deal with stress, according to Philippians, is think about the right things. Don't just pray. Although that's huge. Don't just refuse to worry about anything, but instead think about right things. My thoughts control my life. Every single action begins as a thought. So your thought life and my thought life is very important to the way you live your life. If you don't think it, you won't do it. It's both good and bad. Philippians 4, verse 8. Paul writes, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Get rid of stinking thinking. Don't pollute your mind with the lies of the world. Replace the lies with God's truth. Fix your thoughts on what is true. When you begin to worry and you become anxious, you become depressed, remember to fix your thoughts on who God is, not just the circumstance. This is harder than it seems many times. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Like, this is the filter that we should look at our lives with, not just how things are, but how they can be through the power of God. But many times we allow our minds to be polluted by media, music, movies, and all the junk out there. We wonder why we have no victory when we spend all of our time watching nasty things, listening to terrible music, and we wonder why we don't have peace. When I was a youth pastor, I would talk to students about their media choices, and they'd say, listen, Josh, I just like the music. I don't care about the lyrics. I said, let me tell you one thing. When you learn those lyrics, they go from your head to your heart. And it's the same for us adults. We're not any better sometimes. Think about things that are honorable, that are focused on God. And when I focus just on the pollution of the world, it literally taints my mind. And what I believe in my mind, it goes to my heart. And from what goes to my heart, it goes to my feet. Head, heart, feet. You think it, you believe it, and then you do it. What God wants to do is he wants to replace the lies in our mind so that our heart believes what he has, and then our lifestyle changes. If you're a new believer, the first thing you need to be doing is spending time in the Word every day and removing the nastiness out of your mind. Because no matter how strong you think you are as a Christian, none of us have the power to overcome bad, evil, immoral thoughts. Replace it with the truth, thoughts that are on true purity, lovely. That's why it's so important to spend time in the Word of God. Are you spending time with God? One of the greatest things you can do is read your Bible and obey what you read.
So Josh, that's simple. How many of us do that? Just read the Bible. Where do I read it? Just open it up and read it. I'm not going to give you 10 formula for this and this devotion. Just read the Bible. And then when you finish reading it, say, God, what do you want me to do differently? How do you want to change me? Feed your mind and feed your heart as truth. We all know it's important to eat good foods, right? There's good calories and there's bad calories. There's some aisles at the grocery store that are a temptation for me. The candy aisle. I love the candy aisle. There's always a BOGO down there, and it is always calling out my name. Like, we get that, right? I love bad calories. But I know if I fill my mind with my body with good calories, it leads to good health. We get that. It makes sense. The same is true mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Jot this truth down. This is a takeaway. My life and your life is shaped by my thoughts. My life is shaped by my thoughts. If you grew up and your mind has been lied to, you have to replace the lies with God's truth. If you believe things about your life that are not found in God's word, then nothing will change in your life until you change your thoughts and let your mind be washed clean to focus on God. Number four, jot this down. The fourth way I deal with stress is be content with anything. Let's everybody say contentment. One, two, three, contentment. Be content with anything. American culture equals discontentment. I mean, you watch a TV commercial, you go to the store, like you always feel like, I have to have it. And the commercials always say, it's on sale. Right? Everybody say sale with me, sale. That's my favorite response. Well, did you need to buy it? No, it's on sale. That means if I don't buy it now, it will never be there again. The sale's like the four-letter word, man. Sale. And you walk through the store and you're like, it's on sale. If I don't do it now, I mean, I don't care if I have the money. I'll just use my credit card. And what we do is we're drawn in by the amazing sale. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul writes, not that I was ever in need, talking about his past, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Paul has been shipwrecked. Paul has been a leader of the church. Paul has seen it all. And Paul's saying, listen, no matter what circumstance, I am content in what God has given me with whatever I have. Let me tell you something. This is the biggest need in our church and our world today, to be content. All throughout Proverbs, it talks about the truth that if I just have a little, sometimes it's better than having much and a lot of worry. We make purchases to make us happy. And then we get the bill 3 weeks later and we ain't happy anymore. And we buy things we don't need to impress people that we don't even really know. Well, there's a whole saying like that. I don't even know how it goes. I'm going to be content with whatever I have. Does that mean you never pray for more? No. It just means that you say, God, I'm going to trust you with what I have. Is it wrong to buy things? No. Is it wrong to have nice things? No. It's wrong for those things to have you. Here's a good question for you if you're having a hard time with your finances, if you have a hard time saying no to things. Because usually in every marriage, there's a spender and a saver. You probably know who you are. Here's a good question. Am I buying this because I'm discontent? Am I buying this because someone else has it and I have to have it? He's got a sweet boat. I need a boat. He's got a bigger truck. I need a big truck. They went to Disney for 40 days. I'm going to Disney for 50. That's a little much, right? Am I buying this because I'm discontent? Or here's a better question. Can I afford this purchase? It's a very simple question, but very profound impact on your life. When I say afford, do you have to use credit to buy it? Then you can't afford it. I'm not going to go into that too much because it's hard. It's hard. Be content before you purchase something so that you alleviate future stress. Don't buy something out of someone pushing you to do it. When I buy a used car, I have had those guys in there just saying all kinds of crazy stuff. You need this car and happy wife, happy life. And Cassie's over there going, yeah, it's amazing. You know, she's, you know, like I'm the guy that's like, this is how much I'm paying, you know, because I know I can only pay that much. And she's like, oh, but it's just got the seats and the warm seats and it's got the CD. And I'm like, stop talking. Don't let them know you like it, you know. And I've walked out of those meetings. I said, you know, we're going to pray about it. And we come back and we save a couple thousand dollars Because I'd rather do that than on the back end just beat myself up going, man, we are bought something we cannot afford. And what that does is it causes me to live with stress and worry that doesn't need to be there. Be content with what you have. Notice what Paul says in Philippians 4:12. He says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. He's seen wealth, he's seen poverty. He says, I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. Paul knew rock bottom and Paul knew top of the sphere. And he's learned to have his joy grounded in what God does, not just what people do or what you have materially. Don't buy the lie that you have to have this to be happy. Fill in the blank. It's a lie from the enemy. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 6:6 says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. What if this week one of your takeaways from this message is to say this next statement, that Christ is enough for me? Here's the amazing truth. God's already promised he's going to provide for your needs. You don't have to worry about that. That Christ is enough for me. He's got it. He can handle it. And remember, Paul writes these words as he's awaiting his execution. And he literally said in Philippians chapter 1, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He's saying to us and he's saying to the Philippian church, listen, you don't have to find joy and satisfaction outside. You have to find it within me. Christ is enough. The last statement is this. To overcome the stress in our life is to trust God for all things. To trust God. And Paul writes this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It's one of the most famous scriptures we've probably all read or seen. It says, I can do all this through him who strengthens me. Or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we've seen this on football players. You know, we've seen it in the stands. We've seen people use this in different ways. This is a verse that's taken out of context most of the time. Paul is saying, I can do all of this, everything he just said, and my execution through Christ who gives me strength, not just so I can win the football game. Don't you see that there? He's talking about something a little bit heavier than that, amen? I can suffer well for Christ because he gives me strength. It has a deep, powerful meaning. Paul is facing persecution, and he's saying, listen, we can handle it because I've got God and his power in me. Verse 19 of Philippians 4, Paul finishes up this chapter and he says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Do you know where worry comes from? It's because we want to be in control. Worry comes in when we say, I know better than God. God can't handle my needs. God can't handle the things in my life. And what we do is we don't realize that God is sitting at his throne and he can handle every need of our life. Rest and peace and help come only through a relationship with Christ. For some of us in the room, you say, Josh, I've not begun a relationship with Christ. And the most stressful thing that you can go through in your life is not know the purpose of your life. There's so many people today that don't even know why they're on this planet. And they're trying to find their hope. They're trying to find their satisfaction with anything but God. And here's the truth I want to leave you with today is that God is the only one that gives you your identity, the only one that gives you a purpose, and the only one that gives you hope. For some of you today, you've not begun a relationship with Christ, and I'm going to give you a chance in just a moment to begin a relationship with Christ, to come to him with all your worries and your cares. And you're going to have a lot of questions. You're not going to know how it all works, but you come to him and say, God, I trust you because you're the one that went to the cross for me. And here's the final takeaway I want you to jot down about this idea of trust is that trust is born out of real relationship. When you really know Jesus. See, we're a Jesus preaching church. You know what that means? It's all about Jesus. Okay? And when I trust Jesus and everything outside of that seems like it's falling apart or I'm worried or I'm stressed or I'm depressed, when I trust him deeply and I read the word, and I pray to him about everything, and I ask him to help me, and I live for him, and I say, God, whatever you want to do with my life, I'll do it. When we trust him, it changes things. Changes things. And worry starts to fade away when we trust in God. For some of us, that's salvation. That's your first step, to trust Jesus for your salvation. For some of us, you say, Josh, what, a couple of those teaching points today are me. I'm not content. Maybe that's you today. You say, Josh, I'm not content with what I have. I've compared myself with everybody else, and I'm not content. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. Maybe you're here today. You say, Josh, I'm worrying about everything, and I need to stop worrying. I need to replace worry with worship. I need to replace fear with trust. I think we all could say that, amen? But some of us today, you say, Josh, you know what? In my life, I'm not praying. This is the only time I hear the Bible is at church. If you only ate one time a week, how well would you be doing right now? You need to feed yourself every day spiritually. Get your knife, get your steak knife off and get in there. Spend time in the Word. Without knowing your purpose in life, without knowing why you're here, you live with stress. You live with worry. But God came to give us a purpose, to give us life. Let's go to the Father in prayer. If you're here today, say, Josh, I don't know Jesus. I need a relationship with him. I know that that's what's missing in my life, the hole, the place in my soul that's empty. And you know, and I know, maybe you've tried to fill it with everything else that this world has to offer. And it's left you empty. The truth is that Jesus is the only one that fills the void of our lives. He promises that he says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if that's you today and you're in the room today and you're ready to begin a relationship with Christ, you're ready to turn over your life to Jesus, to trust him for your salvation, for your eternity, you can pray something like this in your heart. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Today, I place all of my faith and my trust in you alone for my salvation. Thank you for your grace and your forgiveness. Would you help me to learn how to follow you the rest of my life? Thank you for being here in my prayer. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said. And if you prayed to receive Christ with me, there's something I want you to do. It's a connection card we mentioned earlier in the service, and that's just for me to be able to pray for you after the service, to help you have a Bible, to help you have a place to answer questions, to maybe get baptized. That's your next step. Maybe to join a serve team. We're about to go into a time of worship as we give. And so everybody have a connection card. You have a prayer request. If you have questions, if you have a ministry you want to start serving, if you've committed your life to Christ, just mark the moment. Take that card out and say, hey, today I've committed my life to Christ. And as the ushers come forward, I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to give. Is this time of worship. The money that we give goes towards the mission of God. It helps us provide for the needs here in the school. It helps us be able to pay for renting the school. It helps us to be able to take the gospel outside of this, the walls of this building. And it helps us plan for the future of what God wants to do. So join me in prayer as we give this time to him. God, thank you for all that you've given us. Help us to give back to you with worship. Help us not to give because we feel guilty. God, help us to give because we love you. Help us to tithe and give above and beyond because of what you've done for us. And God, would you take the monies that's given, whether in the service or online or however it's given, God, would you take it and would you use it for your glory? And would you take this church to where you want it to be as we reach more people and show them your love? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.